All right, Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Anything that a man, now listen, anything that a man wills to get, to build, erect, to think, sort of like in Genesis 11 with the Tower of Babel, he can do those things. God even said anything that the man can imagine, he can do. And so by consequence, now listen, anything that a man can do, he can also be rid of. And that's why we have in a so-called free will religious society, that's why so many people that are of this thought believe that you can lose your salvation. Well, if I can get it, then I can lose it. And that's true. If you can get it, then you can lose it. You see? Now, sin is a different prospect because sin is rooted in man and he can't pull that thing up. He's tried for 6,000 years. It's bred into his nature. And there's no religion on earth that has not an object of worship. Every man has a worship. Every man. Man claims to be an atheist. A man that claims to not believe. A man that claims to be agnostic. They have a worship. And thus, if they have a worship, then they have a religion. And thus, every man becomes a god. And even if it be but the one in the mirror. But I would ask, you can't get anybody on that $37 phone. Okay. But I would ask, what of the God? Of God himself, the one without beginning, or the one without end, the one that's not of man. Who came up with him? Did you ever stop and think about that? Who came up with God? You see, we take this God thing for granted even if we're not believers. If you can wrap your mind around that thing. Who came up with that? Who decided, you know, life would be better if we had something called God? What man in recorded history came up with the notion of God? There is a God. Did you ever think that far back? All the religions of the world, listen, they have a beginning. They do. You can go back in Islam, you can go back in Buddhism, and all these other isms. They have a beginning, a start by some man. Someone contriving the idea. Almost all recorded history leads to some religion. But God, surely such an enduring entity had a beginning of sorts. God. The God. Some grand idea of someone. God. What man or society one day said, we need something different? We'll call him God. Our God. For you see, such like that would lend to the question, what's a God? What's a God? If we had a small child before us this morning, what's a God? What is that? Well, we have to be able to explain how we got here. I mean, isn't that the case? Surely such an event would be recorded somewhere in the history of mankind as it is in all other religions. Let's write a book about this God and record a history of such. Well, some might say, well, the Jews did just that. Ah, I see. So they invented a history with the first man not even a Jew. That wouldn't make much sense if you know anything about Jews, nor even Abraham, who they call their father, who was a Syrian. There's no Jew in his right mind that would make up Abraham as a Syrian. And then turn their God into a man named Jesus, who handed, as it were, God to a people called Gentiles. You might say, well, I see. Well, at least I think I do. The problem is, of course, I can't come up with what's always been. What came first, God or man? You might say, last one standing wins. That's what I've always said about land. Who really owns land? The last guy on it. That's who owns it. You can have all the deeds you want, but the last guy standing there, that's the guy that owns it, you see. Well, man dies. We have great proof of that. So pretty sure I know who the winner is there, God or man. Or maybe you say, well, it's just an idea. Maybe God is just an idea, and we'll call this idea God. Pretty smart idea. Because this idea created the world and all that is in it, including man. So if my God, even if he be an idea, I'll take him. I'll take it. It's funny how men are always ascribing to the original. I mean, ever since I've had this religious walk, men, when I went to Bible college, it was always talk of original manuscripts and the original writings and the original church and the original. And they speak of certain texts as emanating from so-called originals. But here's the caveat. There is no original in God. Now you get that. There is no original in God because God is. An original by design signifies beginning, to which with God there is none. Now there's a beginning to everything created, but not with God. Without beginning, without end, eternal. This book has a beginning. This book has an end. The Word was God. Do you remember? John 1:1. The Word was, but remember, in the beginning was the Word. That's how that verse begins. In the beginning was the Word. Now, it was already with God, and the Word already was God. And so this Bible you might say, in a certain basis, is one jot or one tittle of what is eternal. Because this very book says that we were chosen in Him, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. And this book starts in the beginning. In the beginning, God created. All creation has a beginning. God does not. No man came up with God. He couldn't. There's no man smart enough. And so the serpent, he takes that thing. You remember he said, Lucifer, he said, I shall be as the Most High. Well, he knew God. He was with God. And he goes, you know what? I got a way. I'm going to put this thought in man's mind. Ye shall be as gods. How ridiculous. And men calling until this very day reminds me of 1 Kings 18 and the prophets of Baal against Elijah, and they're out there and they've got the wood stacked up and they're crying out, "Oh Baal, hear us! Oh Baal, hear us!" And when I hear those cry out to Allah or Buddha or some other idol, "Oh Baal, hear us!" But of course, the deal there was, but there was no voice, not any, that answered. Who do you think puts God's voice in my head? What man did that? Now, a lot of men exclaim that. I mean, every time somebody does something catastrophic or ridiculous, they go, "Well, God told me to do it." Yeah, well, you know. All sorts of misdeeds in the name of God. But you see, that's but the voice of the God of this world. And he tells us in 1 John 4, he says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God." Because there are a lot of spirits out there. And the devil, he has angels of light, and even has ministers of righteousness. "There be no device, no shred of any proof, no idea of any sort that ever has or will annul the concept of God. Because God is." You see, man may disannul any and all his devices, any and everything he's ever devised can go away tomorrow. But yet God is. God stands. We can't destroy this world. They think we can. We can't. Because we didn't create it. I would suggest to you, try and be rid of God. You say, "Well, preacher, that'd be..." No, try and be rid of him. Take it out of your mind. There is no God. I don't believe in a God. Many have. Freud, Einstein, so many the more. How'd that work for Lenin? You might say John or Vladimir. How'd it work for Lenin, Marx, Mao, Adolf, Carl Sagan? Some of you may be too young now. Carl Sagan, the great avowed atheist. And they so much so that they took his ashes into space and turned them loose in space, you see. Sagan's ashes floating in space. You know what they reveal? The foolishness of man. Lenin's body lying in state in Moscow. You know what it reveals? The foolishness of man. Leap upon the altar. Cry out to Baal, you see. By the way, which was made by man. The fear of God, the Bible says, is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of God. So let's close with that, the fear of God, because that's our text. They heard the voice of the Lord. And what'd they do? They hid themselves. I was afraid. Never been afraid before. God says, why are you afraid? He says, well, I'm naked. Without clothes? They've been without clothes their whole life. And now they're not without clothes. They sewed fig leaves together and they got an apron on. So when Adam said, I was naked, he was without God. God left the house. He was without God. And for 6,000 years, man has continued sowing fig leaves through religions, thoughts, ideas, towers, altars, you name it. And all to no avail, because when it's all set, there's God. There's God. He's omnipresent. There's God. And so the question arises at this hour, the same question that he spoke to Adam. Where art thou? What a question. Where art thou? Where art thou? And how well I know it. And I pray that you know it also. That somewhere in your life, God looked down. And he said, where art thou? Where are you? Without God. Without God. Let me know how that would work out for you. Trust me, it won't. Because I tried. Yeah, I tried. That's why so many men can't preach anything. They've never tried anything. I tried. But you see, in the end, God is. Now, where art thou?